Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. This is Dr. Terry, and we are doing a really cool broadcast today on the philosophy of thinking, or the thinking behind thinking, and how we think about things such as, a difficult subject like suicide, but how we get lost in thought, and then what do we do with that thought, and different approaches. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is different approaches of what do you do if I've got a thought? Let's say it's an obsessive thought about wanting to hurt yourself or hurt somebody else. What do I do with that thought? So anyways, you are listening to Mental Health Matters on KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. We have a bunch of the shows archived on KRUU. We're going to get the other ones archived up there soon. With Danielle's going to do this. my co-host Danielle's here with me today.
Hello, I'm Danielle McWilliams. I'm a graduate intern, and I'm excited to be here today.
And a bunch of the shows are also archived and going to keep getting archived on the Ardent Counseling YouTube channel. So you could go to YouTube and dial in Ardent Counseling Center, and you will see a bunch of the shows there as well as some larger lectures we've done on depression and anxiety and suicide and all that kind of good stuff, or suicide prevention, I should say. So let's get into the topic today.
Well, hey, Scott, if people do have questions or comments and they want to reach out to you, how can they reach you?
Well, you know my email. What could they do?
If anybody has any suggestions or comments or just, you know, needs somebody to talk to, please reach out to scott@ardentcenter.com. That is scott@ardentcenter.com.
And you are listening to Solar Powered KRUU, and we're in Fairfield, Iowa, but we broadcast everywhere, and we've got people literally around the world listening to us. So wherever you are, good day to you. All right, so let's take a difficult thought. Let's say, I have an obsessive thought about suicide. It is actually inspired by an NPR podcast I heard about thinking, and it was fascinating discussion. And they sort of simplified different kind of psychological theories of how to approach thinking, an obsessive thought. And in the story, they talked about this guy who was a surfer. He was apparently the nicest guy in the world. And out of the blue, he had these violent, violent thoughts about hurting his wife, who he deeply loved. And somebody might say, how does that make sense? Because it doesn't make sense. Sometimes you just get stuck in a brain loop. And the more you try and get out of that brain loop, the more you're actually digging yourself in deeper. And so that happens to all of us all the time. Just generally, it's not that disturbing. So the question is, what do you do?
Absolutely. You know, I think it can happen. It happens on a daily basis, just in everyday life. People get stuck in, you know, whether it's a pattern of thinking, but in some cases, or in a lot of cases, it can be an extremely disturbing thought, like thoughts of wanting to hurt somebody else or thoughts of wanting to hurt yourself. Mm. And a lot of times people, you know, either they won't reach out and they'll just continue to be stuck in this pattern of thinking, or they do and they try to get the help that they need, but perhaps it's not the right form, which kind of brings up the different ways.
The different approach.
Right.
And I should say, by the way, I was inspired to think about this today because in Fairfield on May 21st, 2016, this coming May, because we're broadcasting in when is this?
April.
April 2016, that there's going to be this wonderful concert here that some people might want to go. I'm not saying you should go or shouldn't go, and we're not really promoting it. I was just saying I was inspired by this concert that they're doing. It's called Hope for Life. And I think they've got even a website somewhere.
Yes, I believe it is hopeforlifeconcert.org.
Ah, okay. And what was interesting about their concert is they're dealing with suicide prevention. And, you know, I think it's always good when people are trying to do good things. how we can make a difference for ourselves and others. And it's this free benefit concert. And if people are interested, they could check it out. And we'll try and post it someday. But I was interested in this notion of, if you have a disturbing thought, I want to hurt myself, but you really are not suicidal as such. You don't have a plan or an intent. You're just stuck in the thinking. You have an intentionality. And so what does that actually mean? How do we get out of that? So traditionally, and this is what is interesting. So just, this is a very incredibly simplistic way to think of psychological theory. But in the program, they talked about somebody having a disturbing homicidal thought like that, or you could replace it with suicidal thought, or any kind of disturbing thought you have. And one approach is the traditional approach, a psychodynamic or psychoanalytical approach, where you essentially follow that thought down that rabbit hole, and you look at why that thought is there, the past that's brought up that thought, and what it means to you.
Or you could even go as far to say as maybe there was a trauma that occurred or something that happened, and you continue to explore that.
Yes. And sometimes for some people, that's a useful approach to look back. And, you know, that's why the old joke is there. You know, you go to a therapist's office and they ask, so how do you feel? Well, I feel like hurting myself. Well, how does that feel to feel like hurting yourself or hurting me? You know, it's like, and so, well, it feels like I want to hurt you. Okay, so how does that feel like? Well, I'm taking this knife out now and I'm about to stab you. Okay, well, how does that feel?
Or even, well, tell me what that looks like. Well, it looks like I'm going to take this knife and stab you.
And as I'm starting to stab you, yes. And so we come back to this notion of, okay, for some people that might be a useful trip to go down that rabbit hole. Another approach that Beck brought up, Aaron Beck brought up in 50s, 60s, early 60s, I believe, in the mid-60s, is that where cognitive behavioral therapy came from, which is essentially thinking of thinking itself, that is it a true thought? So if I have a thought that nobody likes me, is that really true that nobody likes you? Or if I have the thought that I am going to kill myself, well, is that really true that you're going to kill yourself? Do you really want to kill yourself? Is there something else going on there? And so it's a way of sort of challenging that thought without judgment and shame and guilt and remorse, which is what I love, and going, okay, straight off, let's be straight about the conversation. Instead of discussing and dealing deeper into it, maybe that thought isn't valid.
I think it's, or if you're somebody like me, who I have a tendency to catastrophize everything. So, you know, it's like one of those, you see an ambulance go by. Oh, yep, one of my family members is in there. Or, you know, something just that's so irrational. Is it really true? Is one of my family members in there? Mm. Or is something along those lines.
So that's another approach. And so when we do these shows, we're not here to give you answers. You're here to give yourself answers. We're just giving you ideas and inspiring you to go, what works best for me today, this moment? All right, so let's continue on and think of a third approach. A third approach is somewhat known as, they would call it a third wave or a mindfulness approach. And a mindfulness approach might look at following my breathing or focusing more. And we're not denying the thought. We're just sort of moving away from that thought, almost distracting or moving away, creating something different about that thought.
Would that kind of be too, like, how would it be then for mindfulness, would you say, to like being there with that thought, being
yes.
present with the thought?
Or not even that thought, but being mindful about my breathing or about being in a body or what I'm experiencing. And that hyper-awareness sometimes is a useful way of thinking about things or going into something. Another example on a counter side of it is exposure therapy, where I am going more deeply into it. So this is kind of the counterpoint to that, where an exposure therapy is, if I've been traumatized, is that I am going to repeat the story over and over again until it has no meaning to me.
In a sense, it's almost, would you say, kind of like numbing yourself
to
it? Yes,
absolutely. Okay. And so for some people, that might be a useful approach to go down those different avenues. A fourth approach we've talked a little bit about on the radio here is a future-focused therapy approach, something we've developed here at the Art and Counseling Center, where,
you.
Yes. Well, all right. But not the radio station anyway.
Yes.
But I'm always confused between me and the radio station. So the radio station hasn't. And so, I'm not saying it's just another approach. And this other approach, the future-focused approach, might take the avenue that I've got this thought, a disturbing thought. I am suicidal. Okay. And instead of getting stuck in that thought, we're not going to be in denial about it ever, but we're going to go, got it, really get it, and then go, the more important part is,
what do we do with it? What do we create from it?
Exactly. So I've had this terrible event. My partner broke up with me. I am very disturbed. I feel like hurting myself. I feel like hurting somebody else. But I'm not going to really hurt myself, but I can't stop thinking. I'm lost in obsession. And it's like, okay, then what do I want to create from this?
I think, too, in a sense, it's almost like you're acknowledging that the thought is there, which I think is really important, because then it helps you decide like what it is you do want to create from it. A lot of times, especially when having negative or disturbing thoughts, we don't want to have those thoughts, so we do everything in our power to try to run from them, and we try to distract ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the problem is that it doesn't. You're not accepting that that thought is there. All you're doing it is kind of like sweeping it under the rug, and so then it ends up coming up again and again and again and again.
Exactly, and so we're never in denial. We're just not getting stuck there.
Right.
We're not looking at the past. We're looking at the future that we're creating for ourselves today. A bigger way to think about that is we're looking not just at that thought, but how do we think? What's the system that creates that thought? The system that creates the way that we think? And so it's essentially, it's creating a new system. Mm-hmm. It's creating a new way of not being in denial about something, but what do I want to create next from it?
Which you could even go even broader, and if we bring it back to the topic of suicide. So let's say that, a family member or a loved one does commit suicide, does kill themselves. Mm. And then the family is left to, there's a lot of guilt, there's a lot of remorse, a lot of could we have done this? Should we have?
Yeah, yeah.
And it becomes this, then it, it's, they get stuck in these thoughts, they get lost in the guilt, and it rather than creating something from it.
Right. Or, there's no, all the understanding in the world doesn't make a difference.
Right.
Oh, I understand why they did it. It doesn't make a hill of beans worth a difference because I'm still disturbed. So the only answer is, the only way to take back my power into me now, and that's a key phrase to think about, how I take back my power, is to come back that I have the choice. I have the power. I can't prevent anybody from doing anything in this life. Mm-hmm. I can't prevent my partner from leaving, going, doing this. I can't prevent the person I love most from not hurting themselves or from the terrible things that happen in this world. All I can create is what I can choose to create from that experience, or to create myself to be more powerful so that those experiences happen less and less.
Right. And so we had two wonderful people here earlier that they shared their experiences with loved ones who have suffered from mental illness. One who had a good friend who passed away by suicide, or who killed themselves, if we want to be honest and open about it. And rather than sit there and get lost in it and what could I have done, what should I have done, they have decided to move forward and become a part of a community and put on a great benefit to try to raise awareness and educate people. Mm. So, and it's just an example of how, you know, rather than getting lost in those thoughts, you take those thoughts and you give them meaning and you move forward with them.
A new meaning.
Right, a new meaning.
Yes. Yeah. And it's kind of like, when we talk about creating a new relationship, which we're going to do a show on creating new relationships in a moment here. By the way, you're listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. You're listening to Mental Health Matters today. And today we're talking about how we think about something. What's the nature of thought and what do we do with that thought? Even the most disturbing thoughts, like suicide or feeling suicidal, or homicidal, or even the most disturbing thought, what do we do eventually with that thought? You know, and different therapeutic approaches.
Absolutely.
And our job is not to say one's right or wrong or one's better or worse. Just there's different avenues. You find what works for you. Okay. So we got this different possibility of I am essentially transcending that thought. So one way, if I have precursors to becoming an alcoholic or a victim in life, and, you know, we could go back, and then my thesis, my way of looking at the world is I am a victim of some terrible event, or I'm an alcoholic and it's based upon the past. And then I have an antithesis or countervailing or opposite way of seeing it, where I'm struggling with my alcoholism or my victimization or something. And then eventually I come to a synthesis, a conclusion that I come to in my mind of where I've become a survivor, I've allowed myself to really embody that survivor mentality, or I'm not drinking. But in the end, that state only leaves us still pointing a picture at the past and thinking about the past. I'm still stuck in that same way of thinking mode. I'm still in the same pattern that I was.
So it's kind of like, even though I'm a survivor, that means I at one point I still was a victim.
And I still am.
And I still am.
I must still be at my core, right, because I'm now a survivor. What this other approach that we're describing now is being able to move past that. So for the alcoholic, I'm got that I not only am not drinking, but I don't need to be addicted to anything anymore. So I get the bigger pattern, which is addiction itself. Mm-hmm. And I move past that to go, hey, I don't need to run away from anything, because I'm so focused on that future state that I'm creating and starting to live today to make a difference in this world. And so I can make a difference for myself, because I am being the man, the person I need to be, which gives me power to make a difference and to be that person and to live a life that has purpose and power.
And in some ways, too, it's you're allowing the past or whatever has happened, whatever negative experiences people have had, you're allowing those to still be a part of the future experiences that you're creating for yourself. You're not, as you mentioned, you're not denying that those things happen, but rather it's almost like there's an acceptance, and it's now I'm creating something new and something better for myself from those experiences.
Exactly. And so I'm giving myself a new set of context, a new way of looking at that world, and I've transcended that old way of thinking into a new pattern. So that's really so, I think you say it so much more eloquently than me, so thank you.
Yes.
I'm sort of fumbling over my words there.
Well, so. I think it's too, you know, it is a different way of thinking, and it does require, it's not like you can just wake up in the morning and start, you know, okay, I'm going to start thinking this way. I think it does take a lot of, it's almost like brain retraining. So it's almost like you have to be cognizant and aware of the thoughts that you're having. So rather than trying to run from them, okay, I'm having this really negative thought right now. I'm having this thought that I want to hurt myself. I want to hurt somebody else. And then not necessarily trying to run from it, but more or less trying to figure out what to do with it in a constructive, healthy way rather than a destructive way.
Yes, absolutely. And so that's it's a really fascinating way to look at things in terms of creating relationships. And we'll have a whole program on restarting relationships and how do you actually recreate, not go back and relive your past relationship, but create a new powerful relationship with new rules and a new way of being. So the same concept we'll talk about in a separate show. But let's move past this into an even fifth category, which is I'm no longer looking at the way that I'm thinking, but I'm getting that all the different approaches are not only equally valid, depending on what my needs are, but they're all the same. That it's just a matter of, am I dancing on this square today or that one? That today I might need to look at my past, and tomorrow I might need to look at the future state that I'm, a new way of being that I'm creating today. It might, just like at some points you might need to, it's more powerful and useful to focus on stabilization than it is to focus on changing. So to look that they're all the same. They're all the same and they're all different. And I liken this to, excuse me for being a geek here, to Schrodinger's cat. I was talking about this with a wonderful client this week that I absolutely love this story. So in physics, there's a story of this cat in a box. So
No, please. Yeah, you tell it.
And essentially, for whatever reason, we're not going to get into the details here. The cat could be alive or dead. It's in the sealed box, and you don't know if it's alive or dead. Okay. What's really fun to think about is it's a thought experiment. Is this cat or is this cat alive or is this cat dead? How do you know? And we're not going to get into the whole physics part, but what I like thinking about is the cat could be alive, the cat could be dead. Those are two possibilities. And the cat is neither alive nor neither dead until you open that box. But in there's something called parallel universes or multiverse, which is true. It's not just part of science fiction. And I know we're not going to get into the physics, and we're making this incredibly simplistic, and I'm applying this in a crude way, so excuse all of you physics people out there, so excuse me. But to think about that the cat is both alive and dead, because in different worlds it is alive, and different worlds it's dead. And in different worlds, in different ways of conceptualizing and developing ourselves, we could be or need this approach versus that approach. We might need to have more of a cognitive behavioral approach, or we might need to have more of a transcendent approach, or we might need whatever it is, and that we could do all of it at the same time. We could walk and chew gum at the same time. We could both be who we are creating ourselves to be in the future and start living that person today. I want to be that healthy guy today. Mm-hmm. And so how does that healthy guy look, live, be today?
It's a very philosophical way of thinking of things. And, you know, taking it back to the cat in the box, you know, is it alive? Is it dead? It's both alive and dead, and, you know, vice versa. I guess my question is, you know, what would you, could you just go and open the box and find out?
Absolutely. And then we come back to one of the approaches. Okay, now the cat's alive or the cat's dead. What do I want to do about it?
Right.
Know, it still comes back to, and that's how come it's a circle.
Yes.
And we always come back to, okay, great. Why'd you kill a cat in a box? Why would you do that? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
But yeah, it is. It is very, it, regardless of how it is, it all comes down to what do we do with those thoughts.
So in our couple minutes remaining, why don't you tell a story about a bad experience, and let's think about some different possibilities with this.
So would you like a story of like a yeah. friend who...
Yeah.
Okay. So we had a family friend who ended up, to make a really long story short, was stealing pills from a family member, suffering from a lot of mental illness, poured gasoline on himself and burned himself. He ended up dying from the burns and the scars.
The self-inflicted
yes. burns.
So a terrible, terrible way to die, and truly is making, when somebody's dying like that, they're truly making a statement to the world about their own suffering, and they're wanting to get as much stimulation pain as they possibly can as they leave.
Absolutely.
It's you know, and they've numbed themselves out of existence. So multiple things are going on at the same time.
Yes.
So go on.
So, I mean, I think it boils down to, there's so many different factors, as you mentioned, you know, this was somebody that was wanting to cause themselves a lot of pain and suffering, but also possibly even cause others a lot of
yes.
pain and suffering with this. And so I think one of the things, though, too, is to acknowledge, so there was a thought process that was probably going on with
yes.
this individual.
Mm-hmm.
And they made the decision with the thoughts that they were having to do something extremely drastic, extremely negative.
Okay, good. And so now, as you look at this, and have heard this disturbing thing in our remaining 2 minutes here, and that's why I like things like this Hope for Life event, when was that event?
It is May 21st at 7:30 p.m. It is a free event, too.
Oh, really?
So, yes.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's lovely.
Yes.
Where people are looking at suicide prevention and having a good time and getting out of just the pain and going, hey, let's have some fun and, like,
well, and raising awareness and educating people about it. And so you take this really negative experience about, you know, the story that I just shared, and it's a horrible, tragic, terrible thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now the family members, the friends, the family, those that are left, they have a choice to do something with the feelings that they felt.
Right. And so they can now approach, can we try and understand, let's go back to the past and get to why the person was disturbed and why didn't it get help and what did he do? Will that resolve it for them by that understanding and that greater awareness? Or will it be more useful for him to go, I'm not that. That thought isn't real because it was real for them. Because they hurt themselves doesn't mean I or somebody I love will. That's just that individual. Or another approach might be where we're going to focus more deeply on connecting to mm-hmm. something. Or I'm going to get what happened and go, got it, and now move on into a more productive state and, you know, transcend it essentially and create a new way of thinking.
Absolutely.
Take something from that pain and create a new life for her.
And it might be that today I want to refocus and be connected with something, and tomorrow I want to take the thought and create something new from it.
Excellent. And so as you're listening to this today, thank you so much. We're so honored that you're listening, by the way, and you're intent on wanting to do something more with your life. So thank you for sharing that with us.
And thank you for being a part of the journey.
Absolutely. And so find your path today, whatever it is, that there is no right or wrong. There is only what works for you today. And that's, I think, what's really fascinating about it, is there's lots and lots of approaches out there. Come to what's your approach for you. Stop trying to find the answer through somebody else. Nobody can know your path, your answer. Only you can. And you might not know. And so you get the joy of discovery. Even if it's a rocky joy, go there. Thank you so much for listening today to Mental Health Matters at KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. Please go to the archives and look up some of the other shows. Please go to the YouTube channel. I think it's Arctic Counseling Center on YouTube, and a bunch of the shows are there. Go to try and make a difference in your life and in the lives of others today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.